Hi, I'm Michael Apple from biznews.com. South Africa's roads are a hazardous place. The fatality numbers on our roads are among some of the worst in the world. Forming part of this terrible phenomenon of death on our roads is the trucking industry. Unroadworthy, overloaded, and outright negligent or reckless driving has resulted in horrendous accidents on our roads and the death of so many people. More recently, an incident involving 21 people, including 19 school children, made headlines when a truck plowed into a buggy on the N2 near Pongola. As a result, those communities are now stopping trucks from traveling on that national route. So companies and industries have to make alternative plans to get their commodities and products to market. The economy runs on the trucking industry. Rail is unfortunately a non-entity in South Africa at the moment. To give us some insight and idea of what's going on, I'm joined by Patrick Friend. He's the MD of Vryheid Meatmasters. It's a wholesale and retail meat processing company in that part of the world that transports meat to northern KZN and Mpumalanga and Gauteng, I believe. Patrick, thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much, Michael.
How have things changed over the last few years in getting your product to market?
Yeah, Michael, you know, this problem has been around for a while. Obviously, we had last July, we had violence that happened in KwaZulu-Natal and throughout the country. But this has been a challenge that's been growing. We've got to the point where we live on WhatsApp groups to try and find out which routes are possible, which routes are available to us. A lot of our trucks travel at night due to the fact that we deliver at 7 o'clock in the morning in Durban, Nelspruit, Johannesburg. So a lot of it's overnight, and you never know what you'll find along the roads. About 2 years ago, we had an incident where there was a service delivery strike near Oshawi, and three of our vehicles were traveling in convoy. They were eventually caught between two burning obstacles, and they had nowhere to go. There was a lot of intimidation of my staff, and eventually two of the three vehicles were opened, and over 200 carcasses were removed from those vehicles and damage done to the vehicle. So we've been living with this for quite a while, continually watching social media, seeing where we can drive and where we can't. Now, recently, last week, we had another incident, which we brought to your attention, where we were intimidated and the truck was opened and carcasses were removed.
I've seen the footage from that incident on, I think it was September the 27th. Just talk us through what happened on that day.
All right. So as you were mentioning about the N2 accident that happened, that has led a lot of the side tipper lorries, which are the ones that are most affected. These trucks have been rerouted through from Piet Retief. Instead of to Pongola, they've come through Port Pietersburg, Vryheid, and then through to Oshawi, which has totally overloaded these routes. The R34, which was never built for this type of trucking. We have hundreds of trucks coming through, and which has caused a bit of a unhappiness from the local communities around Oshawi. The extra danger, there have been daily truck accidents on this road because it's a lot more windy and not built for trucking like the N2 is. So the Oshawi area, Melmoth Oshawi, has started seeing these either service delivery strikes or these protest strikes to do with the increased risk that they have on their roads. And our trucks, we watch every route. We told them to stop in Melmoth and to use an alternate route through Ulundi. But they then received the information that the road had then been opened. So they consulted with us and with my senior managers and agreed that it would be fine for them to proceed from Melmoth towards Oshawi. And this certain truck then, about 10 kilometers outside Oshawi, was confronted by someone that they could see the debris of the blockades and whatever, and but they were then stopped by someone who was standing in the road who made out as if he was warning them about an incident happening further down the road, but it was just a general lawlessness, and there was obviously no police presence at that point, and my drivers and assistants had no other alternative but to basically hand over the keys to the back of the vehicle. So and then they proceeded to remove a couple of the carcasses before the police then did happen to arrive and disperse the crowd. So that is the detail of what happened on that day.
So the police did actually arrive, and that must have been quite quickly that they arrived. Were they notified by somebody?
We're not sure of that, but they were dealing with a problem where the road had been blocked, I think probably 2 or 3 kilometers more towards Ashawi. And then somehow they were notified that there was drama going on behind, and they then did arrive. Very unlike the incident we had 2 years ago where my staff was traumatized for 3 hours and we had to arrange counseling and trauma counseling for them because their lives were seriously in jeopardy. And the police just never arrived. My one truck managed to escape after being told by a community member to actually, his life was in danger and he should rather take a chance and speed away, which he then did. But thank goodness, you know, no lives were lost in that incident, but the police just never arrived. And on that occasion, we had strong feelings that the police were actually, some of the carcasses that were removed on police, under police sort of knowledge.
What is the state of your industry at the moment? How tough are margins? I mean, this is just an added complication to doing business in this country. Is this something that this industry can sustain?
Michael, yeah, I could keep you here all day telling you about our woes. I mean, we have an abattoir, and refrigeration is our game. So Eskom load shedding is problem number one, which we're dealing with, having generators, solar panels and whatever to bridge those problems. But obviously, we've now been thrown the diesel price curveball. So our diesel bill has gone up by 60% just due to the running our generators. And then now on the transporting side, we're having to take long routes to get to our customers. And that is all adding to our costs. We weren't directly affected by the looting, but some of our big clients in Durban have not recovered. They haven't started operating again, which you know, was our lifeline. Apart from all that, we've had the foot and mouth crisis, which has affected the farming community. And pig farming or pork, the pork industry has been in the doldrums because of the very high price of the input costs. There's no tariff protection or very, very minimal tariff protection. And because of foot and mouth, no meat can be exported from South Africa because of the biosecurity risk to other countries worldwide. So South Africa has to accept imports, which drives prices down. The pig farmer has no alternative but to, well, they're going out of business hand over foot, which obviously threatens our industry. But, you know, this whole transport issue as well is just like an extra nail in the coffin. But there doesn't seem to be any intent from government to do anything that is going to sort out this problem on the N2. And, you know, daily we have these service delivery strikes. No one seems to actually take this as a serious matter. You know, this is a state of emergency. So at least the Defence Force should be deployed to stand guard at these hotspots.
I suppose the complication comes in, or the difficulty comes in that you are planning your routes around these protests, but protests by their very nature sometimes are spontaneous and they are very mobile. I've been at enough protests to know that they set up protests on a particular road, draws all the police, all the manpower there, and then they head off to go and loot in another particular area. It's a very fluid, dynamic type of thing. It's very hard to plan around that. I want to ask about the costs here. Are these costs that you can pass on to consumers? That 60% increase in diesel And I want to ask, and you can refuse to answer, but what are the security implications for you here? Can you start putting vehicles with your trucks, armed security guards? Surely it's not feasible to do that with every truck. What measures can you take to mitigate the risk?
We always thought that we were very well placed because Vryheid is sort of 300-400 kilometers away from Durban. It's 300-400 kilometers from Gauteng. And the same to Nelspruit, etc. So we might be in the middle of nowhere, but we also felt that we're actually very well positioned in this type of industry. But with our added distribution, you know, there are other suppliers who are a lot closer to the centres. They don't have the 400 kilometre delivery cost, and with these other curveballs being thrown, we can't really just pass this on to our to the wholesalers and to other people in the industry, because they would be able to get the product from a closer source. So our hands are fairly tied. At the end of the day, obviously the farmers, we could drop the price to the farmers, but they are already in a very dire situation. So we end up being the ham and the sandwich, having to absorb all these additional costs. We have looked at the possibility of in these hotspot areas to actually arrange possibly a security company to escort us through when we know there are hotspots. That is an option that we're looking at. But what we're finding as well is that it's always been customary to brand our trucks with our Meatmasters logos, etc. But we've actually now getting to the point where we seriously considering taking our branding off. Because we know that in certain communities, they actually know when our trucks are coming to certain towns. And the impression we're getting is that, you know, they know if it's a Monday, then we will be in this town. And we're actually being targeted for that, for our branding. But that is not the final solution, because, you know, any truck with a refrigerated motor, they know will either have a box of chicken or some food stuff in it. So that isn't the final solution. I personally just think a greater police presence and a bit more intent from politicians to ensure that this type of lawlessness is dealt with severely. I mean, we eventually are going to be held to ransom. Our whole economy is going to be held to ransom by service delivery or just general looting, which is what happened in July 2021. You know, we can't allow that type of lawlessness. We need to have a bit more intent from police services, the army if necessary, and obviously the politicians.
Well, South Africa is a country of impunity. There's very little consequence for actions. So whether these are legitimate service delivery protests, and who wouldn't protest without water, electricity, housing, sanitation when those promises are made by politicians? But how that translates into open and outright criminality with no fear of being caught or no fear of consequences. And as you say, the suspicion very often that law enforcement, certainly this happens under their watch and sometimes with their blessing. What is a feasible solution for you here? Do you chat to your local chamber of commerce? Do you chat to the Department of Transport? Do you go to military? Do you go to law enforcement? Does it need a coordinated effort? How do we get out of this?
Well, you know, firstly, obviously, I think it's a chamber of commerce. Those type of structures in our areas have sort of slowly diminished. We do have politicians that we have contact with. And obviously police commissioners and that type of contact that we do have too, that does help, that definitely does help. But I mean, what I found crazy is I understand that constitutionally you don't want the army being hauled out at the drop of a hat. But if you actually have a look at what happened in July last year, it took 4 days, or 4 or 5 days, I can't remember exactly, but before a state of emergency was called. And with this type of problem, there is a SWAT team, a police SWAT team, but these guys need to be on standby so that if there is just a hint of trouble, then they need to be deployed. But even the police at this stage, we get the impression that, you know, because the community has got real gripes or problems with their water, whatever, they suddenly have the right to put other people's lives in danger. They have the right to protest. But in their actions, they are actually jeopardizing other people's livelihoods. They're jeopardizing other people's lives. So the police need to take extreme force, I feel, to neutralize these situations. And because protesters are getting away with things, they're just feeling empowered to actually up their game. If the army was deployed and we somehow constitutionally could find a way to say this is a state of emergency, our economy is being ravaged by this type of action, that the army, instead of just lolling around in army camps doing sweet all, they should be deployed in towns like this or anywhere, in fact, where there is a security risk like this. Other towns, I mean, even Nelspruit has had various blockades. Our trucks have been caught in Nelspruit and unable to deliver on other days and had to sit it out. All these cities and towns are being affected by what I've been talking about.
In terms of insurance costs, is there, firstly, I assume the meat products are all insured. And how is your relationship with your insurance company these days?
We've always had a very good claims record, but these things have been testing the relationship. But hopefully on the previous one was paid by Sasria, so it did fall under the political right insurance, which didn't cost my insurer directly. But the fact of the matter is that if this keeps happening, as we saw the claims from the Sasria fund in July last year, eventually the rates are going to go up. So it's going to end up costing all of us in the industry.
There is a particular pattern. It's not unique to South Africa, but it's a particular language that South African politicians understand. And it's the language of protest. The closer we get to the 2024 national elections, people are going to raise their concerns. They're going to go out into the streets. They're going to protest more than they already are, if that is possible. And politicians are going to flock to those communities, making all sorts of promises. Looking into the crystal ball, if things get worse, which I'm telling you from an educated guess on these sort of things, they will escalate in the next 2 years. Where does that leave a business like yours?
Well, I actually often use the analogy that we're not just running, we're not just doing the normal day-to-day running a business where we're selling product. We are actually acting in a Mad Max movie, because everything that you do, you have to, there are 20 hurdles that you have to jump over before you actually just do what is in normal business that someone would do. So yes, we have become a lot more flexible. We've become a lot more ingenious. We've been very blessed. We are still growing as a company. But I think that flexibility and your ability to actually face these hurdles and move on is the only way you're going to survive. Stagnation and feeling sorry for yourself, unfortunately, you're going to be dead in the water. We employ 250 people and we're still growing. We see our importance and in a small community like Vryheid. And, you know, it's a passion and more of our loyalty to our country that is driving us. Definitely not just the profit, but it is very hard sometimes to actually motivate yourself and keep yourself positive when you're faced with these types of adversity. But we definitely aren't going to lie down.
Patrick Friend, thank you for that background information and thank you for your time today. I truly hope that there is an appreciation there must be amongst those that lead this country that our economy, whether we like it or not, the trucking industry and those who take to the roads daily, that is the lifeblood of our economy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Michael. It's a privilege to be on your show.